To everybody else, Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6 this morning. If you brought your Bibles to church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good thing to bring to church, amen. I like it when people don't leave their Bibles at home. Bring your Bible, you can get involved and listen up and look up and learn something maybe from God this morning. Thank you for being here again. It's a privilege to be able to stand and preach to you this morning. I don't ever want to take it for granted that we get to be here and open up God's Word and read and glean from what God has given us. How many know this is a living book? This book's not dead, and I'm thankful God's not dead. I'm thankful we serve a risen Savior this morning. Genesis chapter 6, let's pray, and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, just for another opportunity to stand and preach your Word. But God, this morning, this isn't about me, this is about you, Lord. Just get me out of the way, and Lord, you just speak through me this morning. Let your people hear what it is that your Holy Spirit wants them to hear this morning and speak to them in spirit and in truth. And God, let us worship you in spirit and in truth this morning as we look at this, the days of Noah, and Lord, how much it's starting to take effect. Lord, you said the end times are going to be as they were in the days of Noah, and Lord, it's getting pretty rough out there. And Lord, we see all this stuff going on around us, but oh God, may we find some Noahs in this world that God can look down and find grace upon somebody who chose to do right amongst this wicked and perverse world. I pray, God, today that you'll find just a remnant right here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church, Lord, that has found your grace and that wants to do right. And Lord, you'll spare us just for a little longer. So Lord, maybe we can start building this ark, Lord, that you told Noah to build an ark because judgment was coming. And Lord, I believe you're coming back soon. And Lord, we got to get busy. We got to get busy bringing people in and teaching your word and spreading the gospel. And this morning, Lord, as we open up your word and learn from it, God, I pray you'll bless it. Bind the devil off this place in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Genesis chapter 6, we'll start in verse number 5. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was what, church? Great in the earth. How many would agree that the wickedness of man is great in the earth again? Yet again, and let me let you in on something. It isn't going to get better. We're not going to be standing here in 10 years saying, man, it sure is better than it was 10 years ago when we preached this message. It's going to be worse. If we make it 10 more years, if the Lord tarries is coming and we're still here in 10 years, we're going to be seeing things, and things are going to be going on in our country that we couldn't dream about. I mean, things are going on now that we should never have dreamed about. Amen. And it's not a certain person. Listen, the Bible's very clear. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will what, church? Heal their land. Listen, church, we have a job this morning. And this morning I want to help you out. And I want you to understand that God sees the wickedness that's going on around us. You need not focus on that. Just like last week the preacher preached to you, quit having an outward look. You need to have an inward look from through the eyes of Jesus Christ and see this world as Jesus sees them. When Jesus looks out and he sees the wickedness, I can only picture the tears that are probably shed in heaven and God's heart broken over the vileness and the wickedness that's taking place because his son Jesus died for all the wrong that we see around us. I can see the heart broken of God and our Savior Jesus' heart broken saying, if they only knew, if they only knew, if they only knew. Well, let me ask you a question, church. How are they ever going to know if we as the church are not doing our job? It's our job this morning to understand that yes, this place is wicked. Yes, this world has a lot of vile stuff going on that, Lord willing, you're not taking place in. But here's the thing. What are you doing to make a difference in your world? What are you doing to make a difference in your town? What are you doing, young person, to make a difference in your school? You know, child of God, young lady, young man, listen. You know, yeah, you ought to be obeying your parents, but let me tell you something. If you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, you know, the Bible says to not despise not thy youth. You remember a man named David? He wasn't even a man. The Bible teaches in that story that all the men of Israel fled at the sight of who? Goliath. But a young man named David came out and he said, hey, I could make a difference. could make a difference. I wonder if there'd be a young lady or a young man in here today that could say, you know what? I can't change everything, but I can be a thermometer, as he preached last week. I could make a difference in the people around me. You want me to tell you how you'll never make a difference? Be okay with what's going on around you and slowly start conforming to their image. Slowly start forgetting the reason that you come to church is to sit up, look up, and listen up, and actually give the people respect that are preaching and teaching. Open your Bible, pay attention, read your Bible, pray every day. The old kid song goes like this: read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. But neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Hey, that goes for you too, old person. Listen, we got to have a church that is going to be based around one thing. Hell's hot, and it's real. But hey, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. What are you doing to make a difference in this world? Verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." That's no secret. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was," look at these next two words, "only evil continually." You might say, how could it possibly get any worse? Well, I'm only 33 years old, and it's worse than it was when I graduated high school just a few short years ago. Seems like I blinked my eyes, and now I have 6 children. I've been married almost 16 years. I'm a pastor now, and I'm telling you, I fear for the generations growing up right now. And people, you ought to fear for them. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, they're in a war that you did not have to battle when you were in school. I mean, the leaderships in our colleges and in our high schools now are promoting anti-God. Now, I understand, and I'm a firm believer of this. Everything rises and falls on leadership, but here's the deal. Daddy and Mom, if we're doing our place in the home and we are where God has us in the home, you ought to be the primary influence on your children. Don't depend on the daycares and the schools to raise your children, because their doctrine is false. Your children need to hear the truth from you, Daddy, from you, Mom, from us, church. I mean, listen, all those young people that just walked out of here, you know whose God has put over them? Us. We, as a group of believers, are responsible for all those young souls over there. We are responsible for making sure not only that they hear the Word of God. Now, we can't save them, can we? Everybody knows that, right? We can't save them, but we are most certainly responsible for them knowing that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and yes, you need to be saved by salvation, by grace, through faith, but we're responsible not only just to make sure they get saved and baptized. See, I'm sick and tired of churches that have this performance-based Christianity. Oh, we baptized 100 young people last week. Well, where are they this week? You got your numbers, you got your pizza party, whoop-de-doo. You probably lied to them and told them they were saved just so you could get your prize. Hey, I'm tired of that. It's not about that. It's about seeing them saved, biblically saved, so they can know that they're saved, how they can know that they're still saved, amen? How they can know that they have eternal life, and then we take them and we disciple them and we teach them to become young church members, Lord willing, someday they get married within the church, and then they raise their kids in the church, and we need, you know, the Bible says bring forth fruit, but that your fruit should what? Remain. It's very important. We are tasked with a very, very big job this morning. But only evil continually. I'm getting to the message, I promise. Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, realize this is not, I don't want to say pre-Jesus Christ, because we know Jesus always was, but what I'm saying, this is pre-cross, pre-salvation by grace through faith. Jesus had not yet came in the flesh and dwelt among men. He had not yet died for the sins of the world. This is pre all of that. So understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, as much as it repented God back then for what he had made, imagine the sorrow and the heartache in heaven this morning when he looks down and sees post-Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has now came and dwelt 33 and a half years among men in the flesh. Amen? He done miracle after miracle after miracle. He saved on the cross. The first born again believer we saw, salvation by grace through faith, was the thief on the cross. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. He has now defeated all sin. But now imagine the sorrow and the heartache of God. And Jesus, as he's sitting there at the right hand of the Father this morning, looking down on all the things that we look out on and we say, man, that's nasty. Man, that's vile. Hope I'm never like that guy. Meanwhile, we have a God in heaven and Jesus sitting at his right hand saying, if my people would just do their job and tell those people about me. If only someone would get burdened for the lost and dying world. Folks, that's where we are this morning. Imagine 60 or 70 people sitting right here right now. How many are saved? Say amen. Amen. How many of you know it's God's will that you take what you've been given and tell someone else? Say amen. Amen. Now imagine if you just spent the rest of your life and you got one person to trust Christ. Just one. Do you know the angels are going to rejoice over that one? Just like they would rejoice over the preacher that sees tens of thousands of souls saved. But imagine if you spent the rest of your life and in 20 years, you're 20 years older and you're still sitting here and no converts. Folks, that's not God's plan. It's God's plan that you take what you've been given and you go. See, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. Here's something you can rest assured on. God's word will not return void. You just be faithful. Go out and find somebody lost and say, listen, I need you to understand Jesus Christ is coming soon. You don't know when your last breath is going to be. You could die today before I'm done with this conversation. But as long as you have breath in your lungs, you have hope. And Jesus Christ wants to save you. I wonder, don't raise your hands and don't answer, but when's the last time you actually witnessed to somebody? I'm talking about somebody you knew was lost because they told you they're lost. When's the last time you had a burden for somebody? Not because someone asked you to have a burden, but because the Holy Spirit of God convicted you. And by the way, He still convicts today. He does convict you. He does prompt you to tell people about the Lord. That's His business. But when's the last time you actually went out of your comfort zone and said, I'm not worried about me. I'm not worried about what I think anymore. This isn't about me. This is about Him. And you just said, you know what? Holy Ghost, I know you want me to do that and I'm going to do it. I wonder when's the last time you told someone about Jesus. You say, Brother Drew, I can't do that. Okay, when's the last time you talked to someone about your fishing story? Y'all all right? When's the last time you told someone about your new grandbaby? Or your new baby? Or the vacation you're going on? Y'all see what I'm talking about? We're okay talking about all that stuff. But can I, don't take this the wrong way. I love my family. I love talking about my family. But all that's carnal compared to what we're talking about here this morning. We're talking about eternal life, souls all around us that need Jesus. And how are they going to hear without some people that are willing? Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But I love verse 8, but Noah found what, church? How many remember the day you found grace? You know how you found it? By faith. You know how this lost world's going to find it? By Christians getting over the mentality that we're better than them. Because really all we are is beggars telling other beggars where we found bread. Let me tell you something. You want to know what happened to me? Why I'm different? Let me just show you why I'm different. Let me show you why I'm not the man I used to be. It's because of Him. It's not because of anyone else. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can I say, number one, God saw the wickedness of this world. God sees the wickedness going on around us here in America. He sees the wickedness going on in Alabama. He sees the wickedness in our towns, in our streets. Hey, you say, in our towns, in our streets? Yeah. Take a drive in downtown Andalusia about 10 o'clock at night. Tell me what you think. See how many of you want to take a walk down downtown Andalusia about 10 o'clock at night? Go over there by Johnson Park when it gets dark. You think it ain't wicked right here amongst you? It's terrible. But you know what they are? They're just lost souls looking for a Savior. See, Jesus Christ was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I don't believe there's ever been a human being walk the planet that really wanted to go to hell. You know what I'm talking about? Because we're all God created. And we're all created into His likeness and to His image. But hey, I wonder what it would take for you to maybe say, you know what? I have a burden for these people. I'm going to get some gospel tracts and I'm going to start passing them out. I was talking to a man just this week down in Bruton, Alabama, a pastor down there. He just ordered 10,000 more gospel tracts. He's got a 97-year-old man in his church that passes out 500 gospel tracts a week on the streets of Bruton and East Bruton. 500! They have to order 10,000 tracts every 3 months just for this man to pass them out. Hey, praise the Lord. Y'all all right? You say, well, I would say he's probably giving multiple tracts to multiple people. Well, how many have you given out? Y'all okay? Hey, 97 years old, still got a purpose. It burdens his heart for lost people. He'll stand up there by the intersections at the school as the young people are coming out at the red light, and he uses that as an opportunity to walk car to car while the light's red and give gospel tracts out to the young people. You know what our generation needs? Jesus. You know what changed you? Jesus. You know what changed this preacher? Jesus. And you know what will change them? Jesus. God sees the wickedness going on. He's very aware as to what is going on around us. Can I say this? God is never surprised. Isn't that good? We can turn on the news tonight or tomorrow and we'll see a new story and we'll say, whoa, I didn't know this was going on. God did. And let me tell you this, He knew it was going on before it ever even happened. And He's not surprised. He's not calling for us to worry about what's going on around us. He's calling for us to just be faithful. Just keep on door knocking. Just keep on telling people about Jesus. Just keep on living by faith. God has challenged us to warn this wicked nation around us. We are not to just sit back and let this go on. We must warn them. Look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. You say, that's not my job, preacher. You're the preacher. We pay missionaries to do that. Well, let's see what God says about that. I wonder about the person that told you about Jesus. Ezekiel 33, in verse number 8 and 9, let's see what the Bible says. When you're there, say amen. I want you to see this for yourself. This isn't what Drew said. This is what the Bible says. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely what? And how many know it's appointed unto man once to die? Say amen. And listen, that's an appointment none of us are going to miss. Y'all okay with that? You don't get to choose that appointment either. I know many people that thought they could choose that appointment, but they couldn't. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. You don't get to choose when. You don't get to choose how. You don't get to choose where. Everybody says, it's my life. I'll do what I want. Well, you might do what you want, but there's one thing that's out of your control. You do not get to choose this part of it. O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, look at this, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at what? Thine hand. So, what is God saying? He's saying, I see the wickedness that's going on around you this morning, Brother Andrew. You don't need to worry about them. What you need to worry about is that they know about me. Let me handle the rest. You do your part. You be faithful. You remember just how wicked you were before I saved you and just how wicked you are after I saved you. And I'm still a God of forgiveness. Amen? Don't ever forget who we serve. Don't ever forget how good God has been to you. And don't ever forget that you must be warning them. And the moment you think, well, they're not my responsibility, okay. But when the judgment seat comes and they're cast into an eternal lake of fire, their blood will be required at your hands. They'll look at you and they'll remember you. And they'll say, you knew the truth. Why didn't you tell me? Oh, because I just wasn't comfortable talking about Jesus. That's sad, isn't it? And it's amazing to me to think that all of us have fallen into this category, amen? And that Jesus is so rich in mercy that he's still going to let us in. Yet the man or the woman that he had you specifically picked out to talk to, because your story would have related to their story, and you just might have been the one that they would have opened up to. You just, you know, everybody's not going to talk to just anybody. Y'all okay with that? But I promise you, there's always somebody that God can use to reach into each and every heart. I love it after church when I look around and I see some of our elder ladies out there with their arms around the young people. It does my heart good because you know what they're doing? They're encouraging them. I love it when I see the elderly men corner the young men and the little guys in the church and they shake their hands. I don't know what they're saying to them. Sometimes they're laughing, sometimes they're smiling. But what I like is that my boys know that it ain't just daddy cheering them on. Y'all all right? Folks, that's a big deal. These young men and these young ladies are starving for some spiritual attention. Because let me tell you something, the devil's working hard. Real hard. And he's working 24/7. He don't sleep. He's working while you're asleep. He's working while you're awake and should be working. Y'all all right? He's after them. But it's just not my problem. Well, the Bible says their blood will be required at thine hand. Verse 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, here's another promise. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying this morning, church, is this. There's going to be 10 people that you'll go tell about Jesus, and maybe they'll never get saved, but there might be one that does. But guess what? Those 10 people won't die and go to hell because you didn't do your job. They'll die and go to hell because the same reason everybody dies and goes to hell that goes, because they rejected Jesus Christ. But how can you reject someone you don't know about? You'd be surprised just how many people out there are clueless about Jesus. I've only met 2 people in my life. They were both from Germany. I met them in Seward, Alaska. Just 2 people. Man and wife had just gotten married. They were on their honeymoon and they came to Seward. We were out soul winning in the campgrounds, and they were sitting on a park bench, and I went up and I talked to them about the Lord, and as soon as I said Jesus, they said, Jesus. And I thought they were joking. She looked at him and he looked at her, and they were like, they had never heard the name of Jesus. They were in their mid-30s. Y'all all right? Folks, if there's people in Germany, surely there's people in the streets of America that just don't know. Talked to a man this week. We were down at the beach. I was out. I was playing ball with a guy and a couple of his boys. We were throwing. You ever seen those balls you can throw and they bounce off the water and they go a long ways? Well, as I'm sitting there talking to this guy, the Lord is convicting him. Like, I'm at the beach. Like, come on, I'm on vacation. He's like, listen, you need to talk to him and tell him about me. Finally, I said, hey, what do you do for a living? He told me, he said, what do you do? I said, thank God you opened that door. You know, I didn't, thank the Lord. I said, I'm a pastor. He said, oh, what kind of church do you go to? I said, I'm an independent Baptist pastor in Red Level, Alabama. I said, what about you? Do you go to church? He said, yeah, I'm a Mormon. And right then I knew this is why God wanted me to tell this man about Jesus. So I asked him. I said, I already know what he's going to say. He thinks he's working his way there. But I'm going to ask you. I said, so if you die today and we're out in, you know, 5 foot of water, and I said, if you died today, tell me how you know you'd go to heaven. He said, well, I'm working to get there every day. Look, See, for 30 minutes prior to that, God was saying, tell him about me. Tell him the gospel. Tell the man the gospel. See, and I already knew he was lost because God was prompting me to do it. But I'm at the beach in the water with this dude. That's a weird spot to witness to somebody, isn't it? Well, guess what happened about that time? His son showed up and he got to hear the gospel too. I'd love to tell you they both got saved right out there in the ocean, but that wouldn't be true. Maybe they did. Not in front of me, they didn't. But here's what I know. Pastor Drew's hands, you know, their blood's not going to be required in my hands in the end. I can promise you that. I'm thankful that I finally got over myself. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Weird situation. I'm just trying to have a good time. Oh, but God's always working. See, we have a 24/7 God. He's always working, always looking for opportunity. Always. It's just a matter of being obedient. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3, back about 30 chapters there. Ezekiel chapter 3. Can I say this? God has made us to be watchmen over his people. Ezekiel chapter 3, in verse number 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a what, church? Unto the house of Israel. We know Israel is a picture and type of God's people. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall what, church? In his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. He's given the man of God another warning. When I tell you to do something, you just need to do it. Don't ever think, was that God that prompted me to tell that person about Jesus? I'm going to answer that for you. Yes, it was God. Satan is never going to prompt you to talk about Jesus. So the next time you're out in the Gulf of Mexico throwing a ball with a stranger, and God says, since you're out here, you might as well tell him about me. Just go ahead and do it. Don't wait for 30 minutes. Because I don't know. In that 30 minutes, he could have walked off. They could have gotten a car accident on their way back to North Alabama and died. I don't know if they're alive today. But I know this. They know about Jesus. And I'm thankful that I obeyed. You ever had that opportunity to tell someone about Jesus and you didn't do it, and then you can't get that person's face out of your mind? Has that ever happened to somebody? And worse than that, maybe that person had a tragedy happen. Maybe they're gone. And you never had the opportunity to tell them again. And you'll live the rest of your life with their face in your brain, wondering if because of your disobedience, if they're spending eternity in a devil's hell, soon to come out and be cast into an eternal lake of fire. That's a terrible thing to think about. But see, that's part of that blood being required at your hands. Verse number 19, the Bible says, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Hey, church, listen. I don't want to live knowing that on the judgment day, anybody's blood is going to be required at my hand. Here's what I know. I probably already have enough required at my hands that I don't have room for much more. There's been many times that God has prompted me to do things, and I make excuse after excuse after excuse. And just picture the blood running off of you that day. You're going to make it in because you chose to believe. But all the ones that God had for you to witness to, and you just said, no. But while their blood's pouring off of your hands and they're being cast into an eternal lake of fire, I sometimes like to use my imagination and think of it like this. What if God called you over and said, hey, remember the time I gave you an opportunity to tell him about me? And you said, no, Why don't you give them their final cast into their eternity? Y'all know what I'm saying here? Folks, hell's a real thing. It's hot. Hotter, 7 times hotter than anything on this earth. A place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, the piano player's going to come. We're going to unplug from this message right here. I thought I'd get further, but I did not. The piano player's going to come. We'll pick up here next week, but I believe the Lord's prompting me right now to have the altar call. Let's heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to kill that live stream. Listen, no one looking around.